Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you may know my next guest is a correspondent for The Daily Show on Comedy Central. Hasan Minhaj is an actor and a comedian who just performed off-Broadway in his autobiographical solo show called Homecoming King, which is about his experiences as a first-generation Indian-American. And he's bringing his stand-up show to Talia Hall for two performances on October 9th, one which is sold out already. Hasan Minhaj lives in New York City, and he's currently on tour, and he's taking a few minutes out to talk with us tonight. Hasan Minhaj, welcome to The Download. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm really excited to be on the show.
I'm interested in your background because, you know, just looking at your bio, you studied political science. How much does that help you studying political science in college, to being part of the Daily Show ensemble?
I didn't realize this at the time, but it was actually pretty helpful. It kind of informed just the way I thought about comedy. To me, the thing that drew me to stand up was it felt like funny speech and debate. And I know that sounds super nerdy, but it's like you're basically setting up these, like, I did forensics in high school, and you're basically setting up these, like, little arguments in real time. And then when you're riffing, you're kind of doing impromptu speaking. So it's like it was the hybrid of the two. And what's interesting is that when I joined The Daily Show, one of the things that John kept talking about was, like, what's our take? What's our take? It's not that we're reporting the news. It's we're providing a specific take or argument. And having the best take is what won in the writer's room. And so it inadvertently did help in a weird way.
The Daily Show has always been is an anomaly in the way that it's not unlike a comedy show that you'll see on television, but also a newsroom or a news show that you'll see on television. The way it works behind the scenes, talk about that, the idea that it does very much mirror a news shop, essentially like a newspaper or a television broadcast news shop.
I would say between the hours of like 9 and 10, it does, in the sense that when we're breaking story in the morning, we kind of see all the stuff that's coming in and how the media and how people are reacting to it. Then after that, it's kind of like a satirical joke factory where it's like, okay, well, you know, let's take, for example, what the big thing that's happening this week is, like, Trump's tax returns have been leaked. And so it's like, oh, wow, like, basically he hasn't been paying taxes ostensibly for quite a bit of time because he was losing. And so Trump is winning for being a loser. So it's like, what's the sort of satirical take that we can have there? Is that, and then we just sort of break it down from there. And that's always the fun part. And we build basically between 9 and 6:30 when we tape, we build these sandcastles, and then we do it again the next day, which is, I think, a really, really unique thing.
Well, there's definitely a lot of energy and frenetic pace because you have to respond to the news on any given day. Talk about that. I mean, you as a stand-up comedian and someone who's come from the sketch comedy world but also doing web series, when getting into that practice, the practice of responding to the news in a satirical way immediately, how did you have to evolve? How did you have to develop as a comedian to do that?
It's crazy because it feels like you're sprinting through a marathon, like where you kind of have to have a long lens on, like, hey, this is what are we what is the bigger picture of all this stuff, whether it's the presidential election or it's the debates or it's a specific topic like the war in Iraq or the war in Afghanistan, having a long lens on it, but then also having like a very specific sprint sort of mentality where it's like, all right, we're focusing specifically on this Joe Biden gaffe. We're focusing specifically on, you know, Donald Trump's mic cutting out or him coughing or drinking water all the time during the debate. It's like, it's both of those. It's being aware of both of those things, which is something I've had to learn in my 2 years on the show.
Hasan Minhaj is a stand-up comedian, and he's also a correspondent for The Daily Show. We're talking to him. He's got two shows at Talia Hall coming up here on October 9th. The other thing, I was just reading an article that mentioned advice that Jon Stewart gave you when you started. He said, move towards your discomfort. What does that mean?
Yeah, if there's just it took me a while to figure that out because John is kind of like Jewish Yoda, where you kind of have to make sense of these like nuggets of wisdom. But it basically was like, look, what are the things that people are just like too uncomfortable to talk about because it's too complicated or perhaps there's too many layers to it? And then start to move towards that. Start writing towards that. Not in the sense of like we're trying to offend people. It's like, no, let's try to unbox these things that people push aside in the attics of their own minds and slowly try to break it down. And that's what I think fascinated me the most about this whole Colin Kaepernick situation. I think for the first time, race relations was being brought to, you know, our Sunday ritual of wine and circus. And people, whether you liked it or not, millions and millions of people that weren't being exposed to this through their news feed or whatever echo chamber they were surrounding themselves with, this was being brought to the forefront, and they're just, and it was really uncomfortable for people to go, hey, man, I'm just trying to drink Bud Light and watch the game and watch men potentially get brain injuries that will affect them for the rest of their life. Don't remind me about what's happening the other six days
right.
of the week.
Right.
You know, and I think the Daily Show has taught me to go, no, the fact that there is this real visceral reaction to this news story with this specific case study means we should talk about it. Now, let's unbox it one layer at a time, from the tweets to the outrage to people saying he should do it, people he shouldn't do it, and provide our take or perspective on it and what this means in a larger sense.
And obviously, I mean, with the election we're having right now in 2016, you think about the idea of where the Daily Show has just been so strong over the years. And it, you know, I think back to even before your time and George W. Bush and the takedown power, truth to power that Jon Stewart did so well. When you are writing comedy, especially political comedy, in a situation where you have a presidential candidate like Donald Trump who seems to trip over his own, you know, his own shoelaces constantly over and over and over, does it make it harder to be able to drive home a point or drive home a message when that message seems to be pervasive everywhere?
I guess yes and no. It's interesting. The landscape, there's so many different shows now that are providing their takes or insight. I think the unique advantage that we have is that we get to do it every day. So a lot of other shows like do it weekly, or maybe put politics isn't their sort of their end game. This is interesting where we get to build this over the course of the year. You know, we do 200 plus some odd episodes a year. So it's a lot. And so I still think that what we do is still important. And the way, you know, the fact that Trevor helms it from his perspective, that's what makes it unique and special.
Hassan, you had your own show, Homecoming King, which is on Off-Broadway last year. How much of that story, which is really your story about your experiences as a first-generation Indian-American, how much of that gets into your stand-up? How much of it shows up in The Daily Show? How much does it show up in other places outside of the Off-Broadway stage?
You know, on The Daily Show, just like kind of like SNL, I'm an ensemble player in an ensemble cast where I come in and I bring my perspective and takes and pitches and I provide it to the show. But at the same time, we are confined to roughly 7.5 minute acts. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a 22 to 23 minute show, and I'm a correspondent on that. Just like you'll see your favorite sketch player on SNL, they'll be able to contribute. This is a longer form thing. It's, you know, it's 75 minutes, and it's like a theatrical play where there's four acts, and I get to go on these longer journeys. What's interesting is that topical news sort of ages like bread. It's really fun, and it's great to eat. I love bread. Shout out to the Cheesecake Factory. Brown bread is amazing. It's amazing, but it doesn't have, you know, whether we like it or not, come January 20th, 50% of the presidential material we are doing will be virtually irrelevant. That's why political news kind of ages like bread. To me, the reason why I wanted to take a show to the theater and have it be stories about my life and then extrapolate those true stories to talk about xenophobia or racism or forgiveness or race relations in America, or what does it mean? What is the American dream, and what is the current stamp that New Brown America is putting on it? The reason why I want to provide my own narrative to it is because there is a timelessness to it. This story has been told before, but it's also new. And the variables that are shaping it through my life growing up in the States here over the past 30 years are new. And I kind of wanted to add my chapter to that. So it's both like new, but it's also universal. And having a piece of art to live like that, that's really like, man, as an artist, it's really awesome. That's what we want to do. You know, we want things that'll sort of last longer
right.
than Trump jokes.
You know, well, I think, I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. You know, when you think about people, brown comedians, maybe South Asian comedians, there isn't a generation before them of people making jokes on stage or even in the theater or otherwise that people can look up to them and say, oh, yeah, this is great. I want to do this. For you, I mean, you and others in your generation, you are becoming that person for a younger person of an Indian American background to say, I can do this work. I can be on The Daily Show. I can be a stand-up comedian and so forth.
Yeah, I was telling this to my dad, which is really interesting. My dad was an immigrant to this country, and all things considered, my generation, I'm talking about people like me, Kumail Nanjiani, Aziz Ansari, Russell Peters, Mindy Kaling, we're immigrants to Hollywood.
Right.
And what I derive inspiration from are the great, you know, Jewish satirists that came before me, the great African-American satirists that came before me, that basically paved their way and added their narrative to the American comedic story. And I think that's something really exciting that our generation is getting to see in real time.
What's next for you? I mean, obviously you're on tour with the stand-up. You're coming to Talia Hall here. You got two shows, one already sold out. Do you stay with the Daily Show, but you obviously can do other things? Are you looking for more opportunities in television and film, or are you comfortable with your work on the stage?
I really love what I'm doing right now, man, with the Daily Show, which is awesome. It's like I get to do stuff that's like funny and meaningful, which is a lot of times, man, and you know this in this business, it's mutually exclusive. It's usually like, oh, I'm on this thing that's really funny, but you know, I'm in The Hangover 5. Like, I don't know how quote unquote meaningful it is, or it's, you know, something that's really, really, really like super meaningful, but it's like, oh man, this 60 minute report I did on Aleppo is pretty depressed. You know, it's like, it's one or the other. Daily Show's really awesome where it's the intersection of the two. I think also, you know, it's been cool that it's also given me the opportunity to go do other things. You know, Daily Show is a great sort of breeding ground that has allowed a lot of talented people to go jump off and do other things. I just did this movie called Rock That Body with Scarlett Johansson and Jillian Bell and a lot of really, really funny, talented people that comes out next year. I'm really excited about that. We just wrapped on that. And then, you know, I'm touring the show, and then I have a really, really special surprise for everybody at the end of the tour. But this is sort of our last hurrah. Like, this is your chance to come see it live. And I really think, man, just the live experience of seeing a show like this. I know a lot of comedians do one-man shows that are these narrative arcs in Europe, but it's not really.
Yeah, it's not, right?
Here in the States.
Are you worried that people come out to the show and say, oh, this is not my traditional stand-up show? That I was going to get myself a gin and tonic and watch a bunch of airport jokes?
Yeah. you know, it's funny. People are like, this isn't what I expected. I was like, oh, dude, I'm sorry I let you down. They're like, no, it's better. It actually, like, had meaning. Like, I just thought you were going to, like, I thought you were just going to do a bunch of, like, random mixtape, you know, like a grab bag of jokes.
Right, right.
You know? Sex, relationships, a little bit of politics, a little bit of, like, what my life is like, and then good night. This is sort of, like, built around these set acts and thesis statements, and so it's cool, man. That's what I really love doing, and I see myself doing more shows like that in the future.
There you go. Hasan Minhaj, he's a correspondent for The Daily Show. He's going to be at Talia Hall on October 9th for two shows, one of which is already sold out. Hasan, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to us now. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.